Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to Fathers of the Grind podcast, episode 26. I'm your host, Tim Nestor, and the other host is Derek Teague.
Hello. Well, I don't actually get to host because you kind of run the show rudely, but
that's
fine.
True. I am trying to play around with different titles, you know. Are we co-hosts? Am I the host and you're just some guy who calls me once a week and I don't know why?
I like to think I'm an expert on video games. I clearly know more than everybody in our Facebook group who gets everything wrong 90% of the time.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm shaking my head. You guys can't see me. We're not doing video version of this yet, but I'm shaking my head.
Well, I guarantee you, if we have listeners and they listen to me, they're shaking their head in agreement. You know, all those conversations I've had with Derek, yeah, he is ridiculously smart. But, all right, moving on.
He's a little rude, but he's usually right. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
He's a ridiculously smart fella.
Well, it is now July. We have hit the smack middle of the summertime here. Most of you with kids, your kids are at home. There's no school going on. And so I am just curious for you, Derek, what are you guys doing? What's happening with your family? Are you guys surviving the summertime of, let's be honest, way too much kid time? What's happening in the Teague household?
Well, I mean, it's actually been kind of nice because the last couple weeks I've been able to, not every night, but most nights, come home and not have to go somewhere. I've actually been able to game more, even though, oddly enough, this is the awesome part, I haven't been feeling like gaming. I'm still gaming, but I'm not, like, driven to play.
It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, so I'm counting on it being the beginning of the end of my gaming career.
Mm-hmm. What's next? What's up next after gaming?
Probably mobile apps and just like playing with them randomly. Like that's sure. All. Yeah. But as far as the kids, yeah, we're keeping them busy. They got their little summer camp daycare thingamajiggy, and then we still, you know, do soccer like tournaments and stuff, even though they're not technically in soccer right now. But we do like these little fun like tournaments. Like next weekend they're gonna do like a 3v3 beach soccer tournament, so it's in the sand. Cool. They play barefooted, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's it? That's the whole summer? That's the entire thing?
That's the entire thing. And then hopefully we'll go to a lot of Mo's on Monday, Mo Monday, for $5 burritos, and see some movies. I'd like to see some movies.
What movies are we talking about? Independence Day 2?
Yeah, that was... I mean, I already saw that 16 times. I just didn't tell you. They asked me to please leave the theater, even though I kept throwing cash at them. I haven't seen X-Men, and I'm sure that's left the theater by now. I did want to see that.
It might be in cheap seats. My wife and I still want to see that, too, so we're hoping it hits the cheap theaters pretty soon.
Yeah, so I'd like to see that. The kids want to see, is it Finding Dory? I think that's
Finding Dory. Yep.
So I'll probably end up seeing that. And then, is there any big movies coming out?
I mean, there's Tarzan. And then I know that later in the summer there's stuff like the Newborn movie. It's coming out, I think, in August.
Okay.
So there's still a few big ones. There's some in July that I'm just blanking out on.
I usually go to a good amount of movies during the summer. When we don't have if we don't have sports on Saturday, I usually wake up early with the kids and take them to a movie. So.
You know what's kind of weird is that the big summer blockbusters, at least the comic book related ones or the nerd related ones, all came out in March, April, and May, which is a little strange. You had Batman, Superman in March. You had the new Captain America, Avengers movie in April. And then you had, or maybe it was beginning of May. But then you had, then you had the new X-Men in May. And so now that we're here at the end of June, it just feels like it's been a while since there's been a movie that everybody cares about.
Yeah.
Kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now I did just buy Batman vs. Superman, the extended version. So I'll
You've seen it in theaters, and now you've seen it the extended version. Is it improved?
I haven't seen the full extended version. I started it last night, but then started getting tired. So I'll probably finish it. I doubt I'll do it tonight, but I'll do it sometime this weekend.
Well, when you finish it, I want to hear if it's, because I haven't watched it at all yet, and I do want to see it. So I want to find out if it's worth the extra time, if it's that much better to see extended, or if it's about the same quality, I'll just watch the regular length.
I know Austin's already seen it both ways, and he said it's not much of a difference. I've already seen like one difference where there was actual blood spraying when some people got shot. So they did show the blood spraying, and I was like, I don't think I remember that being in the PG-13 version. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, so I'll probably watch that soon. I know we're mainly predominantly a gaming podcast, but I gotta mention, freaking Game of Thrones is probably the greatest thing ever created by me in the world. I don't even know if a video game.
He says with an earshot of his children.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely rated higher. Well, come on, man. The worst video game in the world's rated higher than my children.
Oh,
but,
ouch.
But no, I mean, I don't know if you're caught up. We're not going to get into spoilers or anything, but did you watch the end of the last season, season 6?
I did, and I can confirm that I think it's, without a doubt, the highest quality, just in terms of production value, quality TV show ever created. There's no doubt about that. The only ones that have come close in my mind have also been from HBO. Stuff like Band of Brothers was really high quality.
Yeah, Band of Brothers, good stuff.
Still holds up today, I think. So there's been a few other series, but they're usually miniseries, and this is in season 6. They just finished season 6.
Yeah.
And the quality just keeps getting better. And so we've talked before about content of games and movies and stuff. This is clearly the type of show that is not going to be for everybody, certainly not for young kids. It's very graphic in pretty much every category you could think. But yeah, the overall quality just in every aspect is extremely high. And the last two episodes this season in particular, I can attest, were amazing. There's a huge battle that takes place that's really stunning. And then this past episode did a great job of wrapping up some things while leading us into the next season. So I thought it was masterfully done.
Yeah, I feel like season 6 was like for the fans. So many, and again, not going to go into spoilers, just so many things that we all wanted to happen after being abused for 5 seasons happen. And then
it was definitely a crowd-pleasing season. That's without a doubt. They were answering questions left and right. The good guys were winning a lot this season.
Which makes me scared for seasons 7 and 8, which...
Yeah, they might be just buttering us up for something horrible.
I think they are. But, like, 7 and 8, and we can talk about it in the future, especially when the show comes up, but, like, I think seasons 7 and 8, because they're shorter, it's almost like 7.5. I think they're going to be brutal. Obviously, they're going to reveal a lot of things, but I just think with the tone of the entire series has been lift you up, and then crush you.
Yeah,
and I would not be surprised if Martin does that at the end, where he just lifts us up, makes us believe, oh, this is what's going to happen, and then just destroys us.
I actually think, and I could be wrong about this, I hope I'm wrong, but it would be interesting. I actually think that the reason we're seeing the quote-unquote heroes or good guys win is because that's actually going to be the main conflict at the end, other than the big... You know, the winter is coming, the zombie horde. Other than them, I do think there's going to be a clash of who we consider to be the good guys. Whether it's, you know, the Dragon Queen facing off against the Starks or something. Something's going to happen that we're uncomfortable picking sides. And that actually would make for interesting drama, to be honest.
Yeah, even the Starks versus the Starks, which everybody's loved. Everybody's loved the Starks from the beginning.
Yeah.
They're the family that the show has made you feel sorry for and love.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not be surprised if something terrible happens with certain people whispering in certain Stark's ears. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because...
And your wife's been catching up on it too. So
yeah, and that kind of goes along with, you know, talking about the kids. It's been fun juggling the kids while she's watching Game of Thrones, because she's in the room watching it. And so, like, when it was Copa America, it wasn't a big deal because I'd go out in the living room and we'd put on a soccer match and the boys would just fall asleep on the couch with me watching the match.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and Emily would be off in her phone or something. But now, lately, and my son Ian's funny because he'll, like, do a quick knock, walk in, and he'll, as soon as he walks in, he says, pause it. pause it, kid in, turn the adult show off. Like, he knows mom's in there watching something he's not supposed to see. But she's had to juggle with them coming in and out every 5 seconds while trying to watch the show that's pretty brutal in every way. But yeah, she's in season 6. I think she's on episode 6. So she's at the end of, getting caught up, I should say.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And you guys can finally watch it together and hold hands as all your favorite characters die. It's going to be great.
Hey, it'll be great.
It's going to be great.
Snuggle fest.
All right. So we're doing a whole bunch of stuff this summer. Obviously, we moved. And so we're still getting settled into the area. The kids still haven't had a chance to make a ton of friends yet. We do go to church on Sundays, so they met a few kids there. You know, my wife takes them with her to the gym, and there's like a kids area where they can go and play games and meet other kids, but it's all just casual friendships for now. I think they're all excited to get into school this fall. They're still in elementary, so they're excited to get into school, meet new friends, and all that stuff. So for right now, we're spending a lot of time at home or exploring out as a family on the weekends. There's some really cool stuff here around Colorado Springs to do and to go see. And so we'll be doing stuff this weekend too, I think. As far as the stuff we're doing this summer, it's been a lot of time in our backyard with the trampoline and, you know, setting up our little pool, all that kind of stuff. As far as movies go, I took the boys, my four boys, last weekend to go see Ratchet and Clank in the cheap seats.
Oh.
And it was against my better judgment because I've heard that it's not a good movie. And I can confirm it is not a great movie.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I mean, the kids like it. I think if we get it on DVD or if it comes on Netflix at some point, they'll watch it again. Like, it's a fun, silly, I would put it in that kind of B level of animated films. Like a 20th Century Fox type movie. It's not perfect. It's not as good as DreamWorks or Pixar. But it's good. It's solid. It's not bad. And the fact that we had all played the game, the kids had all played it, they'd watched me play it, I think they enjoyed it even more because it's characters they recognized. And so they liked it just fine. People who bash on it, I think they're being a little too harsh, a little too critical for a movie that's really intended for kids. The humor isn't necessarily amazing for an adult.
That was what I was going to say.
Kids were laughing their heads off. So
I was going to ask you if the humor was like really as bad as the trailers, because that's what made me feel like, okay, if you can't make me laugh at all in the trailers, you're not going to be funny in the movie.
Yeah, there was a couple moments that, you know, I found myself chuckling out loud. And so it was again... It wasn't so cringeworthy and so eye-roll worthy that I was like, I wish I could leave. And I've been in movies like that. It was not like that. There were a couple moments that I kind of chuckled, but for the most part, I was having fun because the kids were having so much fun. They were laughing and loving it the whole time.
Good.
So, yeah, it's not too bad. And as far as anything gaming-related, for the most part, it's the same old, same old. We've been playing some stuff as a family a little bit. We tried out the demo for Zoo Tycoon, and the kids really like that. I had never played that before on the Xbox One, but you can walk around the zoo and get real close to the animals and feed them and all that kind of stuff. So they like that a lot. And then I've also been playing, I'm jumping right into new stuff I'm playing this week. We've played around a little bit with A Boy and His Blob, and I know you're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but it's a great game.
The kids like it. It's a side-scrolling game. It kind of has an anime art style to it. It's just a port of that Wii game that came out a couple years back. And it's a solid side-scrolling puzzle platformer. It's not amazing, but it's solid. And the kids really like it, too, because there is some, you know, endearing moments between this little kid and his little alien blob friend. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, overall, as far as summer goes, it's been good. We are excited for them to get in school. They're excited to get in school. But we've got a few months left before that happens, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, so new games you're playing this week. Before we just really jump into that, I want to hear, you hinted to me before we started recording that you have some strong opinions on Boy and His Blob, and I just mentioned it, so go ahead. I want to hear, what are your thoughts on A Boy and His Blob? It sounds like you loved it.
Well, you know from having many, many conversations with me, this is my type of game. As soon as I saw...
It's up your alley.
Oh, yeah, like, first of all, Kaz, CEO Kaz, bought me a copy of it. So he sent it to me, and I was like, oh, thank you, Kaz.
And he had scribbled out boy and put Derek.
Yeah, Derek and his blob, and then it was like a picture of my belly. And so I was...
Kaz cackling. I love that image right now of him laughing as he draws this.
So I downloaded it, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. You know, and I am pretty harsh on these games, but I was like, I'll give it a shot. I started playing. I was like, oh, it's not bad looking. You know, it's okay. First of all, when I went into it, I didn't know what it was. So I was thinking, is this an RPG? Is it one of those like like RPGs? And then so when I started playing,
like,
I was like,
the light. What's that one called? The light. Shoot.
Child of Light.
Child of Light. You thought it might be like that a little bit or something?
Yeah. Or what's that really popular one? The Nintendo one with the boy.
Oh, Earthbound?
Yeah. I thought it might be like an old school like RPG with a kid. Not at all. So I start playing it and I'm like, okay. All right, first of all, it's negative points because it's not an RPG and it's a platformer. Then I played a little bit more, and as I'm playing it, this is in the morning, like before work and before I drop the kids off, Eli sits down and he's like, oh, what are you playing? And I was like, just some game I got free. And he's like,
my buddy Eli. See, he's got a good eye for games right there.
Yeah, so he's like, can I play? I said, all right, you can play. So he starts playing it. And he's like, oh, I really like this. And I tell him the name. He's like, I like that boy and his blob. And I was like, well, that game's trash. So it's not going to be on the PS4 for long. No, daddy, I like it. Or whatever. So I drop him off. I go to work. And I come home. And I delete the game. I deleted it.
Did you
it.
Even get to the point where you're throwing jelly beans for the blob and he's doing stuff? Did you at least get to that point?
No.
So you didn't even learn the main game mechanic before you even gave up on it.
Well, I threw one jelly bean, or didn't throw one jelly bean, and it tipped over and fell out, and he, like, built me a ladder or something. He became a ladder.
Right. That's the whole game mechanic, is you throw different colored jelly beans, and he becomes different things to help you get through the levels.
Sounds like a terrible idea. So I erased it this morning, and then I get home from work, and as soon as I walk up, Eli's like, Dad, where's that one game that I like?
Eli. I'm telling you.
I'm like, a boy and his blob? And he's like, yeah. I was like, oh, I deleted that. And he immediately got angry. He's like, why would you delete that? I was like, because it's trash. And he's like, but I liked it. And are you gonna get me a Pokemon game? And I was like, no, I'm not going to get you a Pokemon game.
Oh, my goodness. You are heartless. Heartless man.
Eli likes Boy and His Blob. I say it's garbage, trash, garbage, and there's no way it's staying on my PS4.
It's So let me give you my honest thoughts on it, because I played it back in the NES days, and I remember I had fond memories of it back then. I played the Wii remake. I had rented it from GameFly for a few weeks. I remember thinking, yeah, it's a solid reboot, and I like the art style, but I didn't get very far in it.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I'm playing it again, I think I made it through 7 or 8 of the little worlds that you can go through. It's not an incredibly long game either. I think it's a solid 7 out of 10 type of a game. It's not amazing. There are games that look better. There are games that control better and have more creative puzzles. But when you think about the fact that it's a remake of an old NES game, and it's actually a port of an old Wii game that's probably 5 years old or more now, then you just got to take that into consideration. And it's got decent style and lovable little, you know, character boy and his actual little blob there. It's
I
fine.
Know, but
it's
like...
Fine. It's not amazing, but it's fine.
In the last 10 years, I've probably completed one platformer, and that one platformer was Ori. And while even though I put it on easy, it was
close to Ori.
Still hard.
Right.
And the only reason why I went through with Ori, well, there was two reasons. One, the graphics and music are like beyond probably anything I've played this generation.
Absolutely.
Or probably ever. I mean, obviously there's better looking games as far as realism, but I'm talking about art direction and the beauty, plus the music, the atmosphere, all that. Yeah. And then number two was, it actually had a story that I was like, okay, I want to know what's going on. Is this guy really bad? Is this, what's going to happen?
It was a very emotional story. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And so I feel like it was the first platformer for me, and yes, I'm a hard critic on them, that gave me a reason to care to say, hey, Derek, beat this game.
Well, the other thing is, that's almost an unfair comparison, because other than the Mario series, I think Ori has some of the best side-scrolling platform controls ever.
Yeah, but I'm not
talking... It controls almost perfectly, so
I'm
it
not,
plays amazingly, too.
I'm not comparing Ori to A Boy and His Blob. I'm saying I hate platformers, and the only one in the last 10 years that's gotten like motivated me at all was Ori. And so...
That's fair, though. That's fair. That's an amazing
am going to raise my children like me, and Eli will learn to hate games like Boy and His Blob. All right,
so I've been playing that for a little bit, and it's not amazing, but it is fun. I probably will finish it because it's a nice one to play when the kids are around. I've let them play it a little bit. Even my daughter played it a little bit. She thinks it's cute. When the blob gets too far away, you can hit a button, hit triangle, and you'll call the blob back to you. So it's a fun one to play with the kids. If I'm sitting alone or if Katie's sitting around and I'm just trying to, you know, to play something when the kids aren't around, it's not a game I'd pick. There's plenty of other games I'd pick first. But
yeah,
it's not bad. For $2, it's on sale right now. If you've got young kids or even if you're just interested in it is a creative side-scrolling platform puzzler. Don't listen to Derek. It does have a lot of creativity to it. It's $2. So
jelly,
go pick it up.
Jelly beans and alien blobs. Great.
If you liked games like Braid or... even Limbo, even if you liked Ori, but you want something a little slower paced and a lot less difficult, it's worth trying out. It's $2. All right, so speaking of Limbo, the other game that I'm playing, I just bought it last night. Was it last night I bought it, I think? Is Inside. And I've only had a chance to play it for about an hour. My plan is to play it some more tonight, probably finish it either tonight or tomorrow. I know it's not super long. Mm-hmm. But my impressions so far are that it's basically Limbo 2.0. Like, it's an upgrade in every way. It still controls the same. So if you've played Limbo and you didn't like the puzzle elements, it's really not a platformer. Technically you are jumping and stuff, but it's not about trying to make it from platform to platform. That's not the main crux of the game is solving these puzzles. Mm-hmm. And there's a few parts that are actually a little spoilery because the experience and discovering it is what makes the game fun. But suffice to say, they have some creative ways that you have to manipulate the environment to get through some areas, and it's I don't know that I can tell you that it's worth a 10 out of 10 that IGN gave it just yet, but an hour in, I'm captivated. The art style is really creepy. It's very scary right out of the bat. As soon as you start the game, there's no like start game or set options thing. It just starts, it gives you the title screen, and then you're moving around in the woods with this kid and you're trying to stay away from these scary dudes with white masks and flashlights and dogs that will eat you. And I mean, they will violently eat you. It's terrifying. You're a little boy and you'll get ripped apart on screen. It's like, wow. All right. I guess they're having kids die in this game. I guess that's what we're doing. So yep. It's if you remember playing Limbo, that first section where you get to the spider and you get stabbed through with the big spider leg and you realize like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing, then it's kind of got that same feeling to it. It's a little foreboding, it's a little nightmarish, but so far it's a blast to play. So anyway, that's what I'm playing. What about you?
Well, I'm currently playing two games. I only mentioned one fast because we talked about it last week, but I'm still playing Tokyo Mirage Sessions, moving on in that. But I also purchased yesterday, because I got a good deal on it, the Technomancer. This isn't a game that's really well received or anything like that. It's about a 65 on Metacritic right now. But it's by a small developing team that tries to release AAA style games. And this one's like, it's got a Mass Effect vibe, even with the music. You're on Mars, you're set in Mars, so it's very futuristic. But I have to say, I'm about an hour and a half in it. I just beat the first boss battle. It's fun. The combat can be a little tricky, but it's not bad. I like it. I've heard, like, nice. Anybody that's bashed the game has said it's because the combat's slow or delayed or something like that. But it's kind of like an in-between. It kind of reminds me of, like, Mass Effect 1, where it was designed as a shooter, but it really wasn't a shooter. It was an RPG game, like, by the numbers.
Right.
So certain things you would do would be, like, you would put orders in there to do, and it would be, like, delayed. Well, that's almost like this. It's real time, but it's also kind of delayed, and it's by the numbers. So
okay.
All right. I like it. But again, it's kind of like the voice acting would be like a B movie. It wouldn't be a AAA type game. But the world, the combat, and the upgrading systems, everything like that, very, very well done so far, and I'm really enjoying it. So as soon as I get through Tokyo Mirage, I'll dive in a little bit deeper, but those are the two games I'd like to go back and forth while playing, you know, Rocket League just for fun.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I kind of want to try Technomancer. It's one of those games that I barely heard much about because when I did see articles about it, I skipped over it, and that was just me not being aware of the game. But yeah. Hopefully it's not one that gets too quickly forgotten. I mean, even getting a 6 or 7 might be worth a try. So I might give it.
Yeah, it's and I explained to like Jesse and some other people that are like, well, I heard it's a crap game. Well, yeah, there's been several people that have given it terrible scores, but there's also been lots of review sites that have given it 8s and 9s, and so it's obviously one of those games where expectations matter. Like if you go into definitely. It going, well, this looks like a AAA RPG open world The Witcher type game, you're absolutely going to hate it. But if you go into it going, oh, this is kind of like an indie team trying to do a AAA game, all right, I'll give it a shot. Then you realize you're a little bit more forgiving. And that's how I've always been. Like when I play Spiders games, I'm always more forgiving because I'm like, I know who you are. You're not an EA. You're not BioWare. You're not going to create a perfect game. You're going to have a flawed game, but I'm going to enjoy it because it's cool.
Yeah, so they've been working with Focus Home Interactive, who's been putting on a lot of games over the last few years. And I'm looking through their list of games that Spiders has developed, and I'm not super familiar with their work. I know they did, according to this list here, they did a few ports for the Xbox 360 and the PS3. I think their first major game was Fairy Legends of Avalon. And I do remember when that came out. I just never tried it. I think
it
was a downloadable game.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good game.
And then they moved on to Of Orcs and Men, which I never tried that either.
That one was decent. It wasn't great. Like, the voice acting was god-awful, but the gameplay was actually good.
And then what about Mars Warlogs?
This is actually, Technomancer is actually, I believe, I don't know if it's a spiritual sequel or an actual sequel.
Okay.
But apparently, and I never played that game, but apparently it was god-awful terrible. But this one is like, every review I've listened to is like, take that game and multiply by like infinity, it's better.
Well, the game that many of you listening, I say many, that both of you listening would be familiar with, is Bound by Flame. They put out 2 years ago, and that one was a little more well known and a little better received compared to some of the others. So there you go. For those of you who needed some context, I'm one of those people who wanted some context on who made Technomancer. What is it all about? There's some history on the games that they've created so far.
Yeah, like real quick, like the reason I even like delayed on buying it, and the only reason why I did is because I was able to get it half price, because as much as I like Bound by Flames, I know there's a couple reasons why I liked it. First, I bought Bound by Flames day one because it was the only RPG on the new consoles. It was the first one. So I was so excited just to play like it wasn't an open world, but it was like open area RPG with leveling and all that stuff and good graphics. So that was one reason. The other reason was I wanted to give it a shot and see if I liked it, and I ended up loving it. But I was a little worried with the games like The Witcher and Dragon Age and all those coming out already that I didn't want to dive into Technomancer, especially since it was getting like hit or miss type reviews. I didn't know if I would love it as much as I love Bound by Flames, because I bet you if I went back and played Bound by Flames, I'd be like, this is trash. Because there's a lot of people I know that have talked to me. They're like, Derek, why do you play these guys' games? Bound by Flames is crap. And I'm like, no, I liked it. But so far, Technomancer is good. I like it.
All right, good to know. Now, is it your game of the year?
Of course. Well,
so
there's...
Well, it's your game of the day?
Yeah, it's game of the century for this day.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing. All right, so the reason I asked that, of course, is we are going to talk about our game of the year so far. We're halfway through the year, almost exactly 50% through 2016. And so we want to look back and see which games we like the most. And I'm going to try to throw in a few that neither one of us have played. And there'll be some obvious ones that are probably going to be Game of the Year contenders. And we're also going to talk about some games that we think might dethrone it later on. So we will get to that here in just a minute. But before we talk about our opinion, I want to share what some of the community thought. So Derek threw this question up in the Facebook group, which if you haven't joined yet, jump in there, Fathers of the Grind on Facebook. And he basically said, what's your game of the year so far? And if you think if something's going to surpass it for the second half of the year, what do you think it's going to be? And we got some pretty consistent responses about a few popular games that have already come out. And so, and I know these are games that you like all three. Well, maybe you don't like all three of these. The first one, though, I'll let you share because I know you like this one a lot. And we've got a lot of group members who are on the same page with you. So what was one of the most popular picks?
Oh, it's got to be game of the lifetime. Oh, Dark Souls 3.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is? I just can't get into this game, and I think it's because of the way the actual combat feels, like the way the sword feels when you connect with stuff. It just wasn't working for me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't feel that way when I tried Bloodborne. When I tried Bloodborne, I thought, this feels good, and I want to play this again when I'm in the place to want to really dig in, and this is going to be my game. So Bloodborne gave me a much better feeling with combat. Dark Souls 3, I didn't get that great feeling. So I don't
know what it is. Bloodborne's a little bit faster, so you might like that. But Dark Souls 3 is still pretty fast. Like, they make it a little bit slower because they do want you to rely on your sword. Yeah. Whereas Bloodborne, shield. Whereas Bloodborne, there's only one shield in the game, and it's like this little wooden one that's just put in there as a joke. Like, they're like, if you want to use it, you can, but it's literally pointless.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and so that was not really a big surprise to me. I've seen a lot of conversations about it, and it's one of those games that I kind of admire and am a little bit jealous of those who get into them, enjoy them, and are really good at them, because I kind of wish I could be part of that conversation, because it seems so, you know, in depth, and it's hard to understand if you're on the outside looking in. So I am a little bit envious of that, but the reality is it's just not, right now at least, a game for me. So, but I'm glad that a lot of people like it, and I don't say that facetiously or sarcastically. It really is a high quality game, and I can say that with confidence, because there's people that in our group that I trust their opinion on games who love it.
Here's what I'll say. I'm gonna buy a one-way ticket to Colorado.
Do it.
And I'm going to move into your basement and force you to play Dark Souls 3 all the way through. And I'm going to hold your hand while you do it, like literally.
What a weird way to spend your time here.
Just to make sure you become a fan.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to keep going, because we're going to spend forever on that. One of the other popular picks, no surprise, was Uncharted 4. Of course, one of the biggest releases of the spring, and will undoubtedly be on many people's shortlists as the Game of the Year discussions pick up in November, December. And then one of the more popular ones in our group was Doom. Now, that's a little surprising to me, not because I don't think Doom was good, because I haven't played it, so I can't really give a good opinion on it. But I'm just surprised based on the fact that majority of outlets gave it solid scores. Like, for the most part, I felt like the vibe I got from the critical consensus was about similar as Far Cry Primal, where they think it's good. It's flawed, but it's good. And certain people really clicked with it. And so it seems like a lot of people in our group love Doom. And I don't know what you think about it, if you've got a strong opinion on it one way or the other, but a lot of people in our group certainly do.
I think I got 3 chapters in, and here's the thing, like, if you're a big first-person shooter fan, this is the game for you. It's literally the perfect first-person shooter when it comes to, like, gameplay mechanics. I just personally got bored with, like, going from corridor to corridor and trying to unlock doors. That doesn't mean it's a bad game. It doesn't mean I won't come back to it. I will. I actually have plans to eventually do that. But nice. Right now, it's a solid game, and I don't condemn people that are like, dude, this game of the year. I'm not like, oh, you're a tryhard. I'm like, yeah, I understand. It's a quality game. If you're into those first-person shooters, I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can't give a strong opinion on it. I wish I could. I should at least try it, because it's sitting there looking at me. But I should at least try it so I can give an opinion on it one way or the other. But I do know that some people were counting down the days till that game released, and it sounds like for those fans, it really delivered, and that's pretty awesome. It's great to see a franchise that people loved from back in the day make a comeback and actually nail it, as opposed to things like, for example, Duke Nukem come back and completely fail. They just couldn't deliver. And so it's nice to see things like Wolfenstein and Doom come back and make a nice
and
showing.
Wolfenstein and Doom handled it the correct way. They had the gameplay and all that like that, but they also have more mature tone to them. Whereas Duke Nukem was still like, hey, let's tell dumb jokes and be stupid.
They didn't even try to update it for the times.
I would have to say, though, just real quick, I liked Wolfenstein more than Doom. And back in the day, I liked Doom way more than Wolfenstein.
Well,
so.
And I don't even need to play it and to tell you that I'll probably like Wolfenstein more. Even if Doom feels better to run and shoot and actually the first-person shooting part of it, Wolfenstein to me had a setting and a story that I know just from the outside looking in, Doom won't be able to match. Now, Doom will have that mindless fun where you run in and kill demon aliens, whatever they are, kill monsters. And I totally get the draw of that and why that's fun. But I know that Wolfenstein is definitely a game that I enjoy more. But moving on from Doom, I'm glad people liked it, but it's not on my list. So what I wanted to do was, I know you've made a list as well, was kind of work our way up our list from the bottom up to the top. While throwing out some games that I know that we aren't going to include because we haven't played. So before we talk about our favorite games, what are some games that you think we should recognize with our listeners that are legitimately good games that neither of us have really given a lot of time to that will probably be Game of the Year considerations?
Ooh, I don't even know. Is there anything I haven't played?
Well,
The Witness.
One big one from January is The Witness. That's right. That's probably the biggest one that I'm still waiting for a sale on. As soon as that thing goes on a meaningful discount, I don't mean like 20% off, so now it's, you know, whatever, 35 instead of 40. I mean like a meaningful discount. Then I'll get The Witness, and then I'll give it its due.
Even in the Steam sale, it was only like 20% off. It was like $32, and this is on a Steam sale, so...
Yeah. So I'm going to wait a little bit on that. But The Witness is probably one of the bigger ones. There's another one that I'm hoping to play in September when it comes to consoles, and that's XCOM 2. That got a ton of love from people. There is, I don't know if this is on any system but PC, but it just came to mind for some reason. A lot of outlets are talking about Darkest Dungeon. I have no idea if it's any good. I don't know much about it, but I know it's talked about. So that might be one that people will be discussing at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, it should be coming out on the PS4. I don't know if it has a release date, but it's supposed to come out on the PS4.
Okay. All right, well, there's probably some others too, but we'll go ahead and get into our lists here. So it looks like I've got a few more than you. I made a list that's a little longer than yours because I like more games than you do.
Of course.
So I'll go first with two of mine because I don't have a lot to say about them. We've already talked on past episodes about Firewatch, and I would put that at number 7 if I were making a list in order. Then Firewatch would be down there underneath 6 of the other games that I've played. But I played it from start to finish over 2 evenings. It is not a perfect game. I don't even think, you know, in retrospect, it's the best walking simulator narrative game. I don't. But it is good, and the acting, the voice acting is amazing. That's what makes the game. The visuals are kind of interesting and neat. Almost has a Pixar or Disney type of cartoon look to it when you see his hands and stuff. Anyway, I won't talk too much more about it, but it definitely is good. And if you like walking simulator type games where there's not a lot of action, if you liked The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, if you liked Gone Home, if you liked those kind of games, get Firewatch. If you don't like those kind of games, stay away from this game. You'll be bored out of your mind. There's nothing to shoot, nothing to fight. There's only a few really intense moments. A lot of it's very slow and very dialogue heavy. So it's not for everybody, but I did like it. And the other one I'll throw out there real quick before we get to your number 5 game would be Inside. And I know I just started it, but I already know I like it more than Firewatch. And it could work its way up my list as I get towards the end. So Inside, so far, really great game. If you've got an Xbox One or PC, go get this game. It's only $20.
I already know the endings.
Well, don't tell me.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Beep. Censored. All right. So
Censored.
All right, so Derek, go ahead and give me, what's your number 5 game so far this year that you've played?
This one could move up, but for right now, I just put Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
For someone who's coming in right now on this episode, and I know we get millions of new listeners every week.
Yeah.
How would you, in just a couple sentences, describe what this game is?
I love how you try to make me only say it in 2 sentences. You're trying to control me, Tim. Censored! Censored. All right, what was the question? Because I was so busy wanting to yell at you.
I'm trying to control you, and you're not listening to me. We are a great team. So in a couple of sentences, or you know what? You take as much time as you want, buddy, to explain to the uninitiated, how would you describe what Tokyo Mirage Sessions is? Because it kind of sounds like a really sketchy massage joint. It says, come on in for our Tokyo Mirage session. Like it sounds like something a little shady. So what is it actually?
It's basically... Shin Megami / Fire Emblem JRPG. It's got some stuff that I'm like, really, Derek, you're playing this and liking it? Like, it's got a lot of Japanese like pop star moments where they start busting out in song, and I'm like, dude, you're playing this? But it's so good. Like, the combat's good. They talk a little too much. You know how I hate reading, but overall, Great game.
Okay. And then what's your number four? And then I'll do my... Well, you know what? No, never mind. I didn't do my number five yet. Hang on to your number four. All right. My number five game, very much related to that one, is the only 3DS game on my list, and that is Fire Emblem Fates. I am still sitting at about 75% of the way through the main campaign for Conquest, and I have every intention of going back and completing that and playing Birthright. I really do. But it's a game that it's just like one of those comfort games, and I'm glad I have it. And when I hit a weird lull of console gaming, I can just jump right back to that and get right back into it. So Fire Emblem Fates, an amazing game. If you like strategy RPGs, why don't you have this game? It's almost perfect in terms of strategy RPG gameplay.
It is a good game.
What's your number five? Number four.
Number four right now is Uncharted 4, which I thought it would be higher.
What?
Yeah, so number four is Uncharted 4.
You probably thought it would be number three, didn't you?
I thought it would be number one. I mean, prior to it releasing, I definitely thought it was going to be the best game that released this year. And I'm not saying it's not. It really is good. Well, what I'd like to do as a test, I mean, it's not like it's a spoiler. Everybody knows I'm going to say Dark Souls 3 is my favorite game. But what I'm going to do as a test, I want to go back and play Uncharted 4 again all the way through. And if I feel like I liked it more the second time, it may surpass like a Dark Souls 3. But here's the thing. I've played Dark Souls 3 twice now, and I still think about the game. Like,
you still
want to
play it again, don't you?
I still want to play it again, and the only thing stopping me is that feeling of, well, you bought this game, you have to play it.
Wow.
That type of feeling. That's the only thing stopping me from replaying Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3.
That's a legit love of a game, then. There's nothing wrong with that. As much as I give you a hard time about the Dark Souls 3 thing, that means you legit love that game, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm pretty infatuated with it. I still watch like YouTube videos talking about the bosses and all that stuff.
All right, well, my number four game is Sony's reboot of the Ratchet & Clank series. They put this out in May, and in April, and... Was it April? Whenever it was, it doesn't matter.
It's an
amazing game.
This is another game that Eli loves that I told him last night that I deleted.
It's so good. It's one of the best, at least recent, 3D, you know, platforming action games. It's really fun.
I'm starting to think Eli's your son.
Maybe. Come home, Eli. So Ratchet & Clank, it's amazing. The gun variety is great. The battles are really fun. They make it challenging, especially at the end, but for the most part it's a game that most kids could play through. I'm pretty sure that on the easier level they could probably even beat the boss. The final boss is a little overly hard, but otherwise very fun game, probably one of the better looking games on the PS4, and that's with all the other games that are out. And that's just in terms of art style and the way they deliver it, just the scope of it. It's really, really pretty. It's really fun to play. Highly recommend Ratchet & Clank if you at all enjoy those kind of lighthearted 3D platforming action games. You should get this one, Ratchet & Clank, my number four game. What about you?
All right, so number three is Blood and Wine. Now, I know this isn't a full release, but I'm sorry. If a game's got like 20 hours of content, I'm fine with saying it's a game.
For our purposes, I'm letting you count it because you'll hear it on my list here shortly too. Yes, I totally agree. It's worth, at least for our purposes right now, maybe not in our official end of the year review. I don't know if we'll count it or not. But for right now, for our purposes, I think it's fair to say, you know, put it on your list of favorite games.
I mean, it's got its own story, and with all the upgrades to not only like the UI, but even like the gameplay, the look, everything was
totally
just
a new area, totally different.
Absolutely area. Phenomenal. Yeah. It felt like The Witcher 3.5. And I really
more so
really
than Hearts of Stone
it.
Did.
Yeah, Hearts of Stone was great, but I would say Blood and Wine's an easy 10, maybe Hearts of Stone a 9.5.
Hearts of Stone felt like an amazing expansion pack of The Witcher 3, and Blood and Wine feels like a sequel. It really does. It feels like maybe a rushed sequel because they didn't upgrade a ton of the systems, and everything looks very similar, just a little shinier, but it certainly feels like a different game. I agree with you there. Good pick. My number three is Far Cry Primal, and I've talked about this before. It's just a fun game. It's not without its flaws, but the way they let you tame beasts and explore the area, and I like that open world setting where you can go and run missions. The story itself, mediocre, but not bad, but just mediocre. But I mean, it's set back in prehistoric age. I'm not sure what kind of story people expected. It's just a fun game to play. It's very raw and visceral and kind of scary, especially at the beginning when you don't really have your bearings yet. You don't really have a lot of powers yet. Every animal you encounter could kill you. It's a great feeling. It's a really great feeling if you like that kind of open world exploring type of an experience. So Far Cry Primal is my number three. And I'll go ahead and tell you my number two, because I won't talk about it really, is Blood and Wine. The Witcher expansion Blood and Wine is my second favorite game so far this year. And I agree with you in the sense that it feels like a brand new game. So that's my number three, my number two. What about you?
All right, so number two, plot twist, it's Dark Souls 3. See, you all thought Dark Souls 3 was my top game, and it's not. I'm not going to talk about it. Dark Souls 3 is great, but it did not get the top spot.
All right, well, we'll save your top one for just a minute, because I know people are just waiting on the edges of their seats. My favorite game so far this year is Uncharted 4. I think it's the best of the series. For me personally, I actually enjoyed playing it more than The Last of Us. I don't think the story is better than The Last of Us, so I want to make that very clear. I think Last of Us characters and story are much more meaningful. I felt like Uncharted 4 was a much more fun video game to play from start to finish than The Last of Us was. And I think it's the best Uncharted game. I think it's the best game that's come out on the current generation of consoles. And the criticisms that I see of it are very confusing to me. People talk about the pacing and things like that. It's a long game, and they do a brilliant job of pacing it out. I love the gunplay. It's vastly improved over even 2 and 3, which were pretty decent. I love the stealth elements they've added. And I know it's kind of silly that all of a sudden you've got this brother who he's clearly very close to, and they have a tight relationship, who never was mentioned in the first three games. Or this new zipline rope thing that he's amazing at now that he, for whatever reason, never used in the other games. It's a video game. Those kind of things, for me, don't really bother me. It's just an upgrade to the gameplay experience. But if you let those things go and don't take it so seriously, I really do think Uncharted 4, in terms of production value, acting, visuals, and gameplay, it's impossible to match. So far this year, it's my favorite game. If Witcher 3 Wild Hunt had released this year, the full game, that would have beat Uncharted 4. But since it didn't, I would put Uncharted 4 ahead of everything else. That's my top game.
All right, it's not a bad pick, but it does not come close to what this game is.
All right, here's a drum roll. Go.
All right, now you're making my drum roll look bad from last week.
Oh, your drum roll. Derek,
number one,
I'm sorry,
top
that was a
game,
bad drum roll.
Game dev story. What a great game.
Yes.
What an outstanding game. Trash, garbage, trash, DFC games, game dev story. It's where it all started. That is a great, great, great game.
For anybody who's listened to more than one episode, you can always tell who kind of put the notes together during the week because they fill in the answers for the other person.
Such garbage. DFC gaming.
That's a good way to kind of branch us into what I want to close us out with this week, and that is thinking about, we've already talked a little bit about what we're most hyped for. But I want us to think, and this is an idea you had, and I like this, to think a little bit more about what upcoming games could dethrone your current top game. And maybe you just pick one. And if we want to mention some honorable mentions, that's great. But let's think of one game that we could see shooting to the top of our list before the end of the year. And I'm going to share some community picks as well. But what comes to mind first when I say second half of 2016, could be at the top of my list? What's the first game that comes to your mind?
First one, man.
Maybe not first one, but the one that you think is most likely to land at the top of the list.
I mean, I didn't put mine in order when I made the list, but it could be Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Okay.
I mean, I really liked the first one, so I can honestly say I've done zero research on the second one, so I have no idea if it's good or not. If it looks improved over the first one, because while the first one's absolutely amazing, it does have flaws.
But you're talking about Deus Ex Human Revolution, right? Isn't that the third game in the series?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Mankind Divided.
You mean like first of the...
Yeah, and then the
I see what
Human Revolution's kind of like started it all over. But yeah, there's several Deus Ex games ahead of it.
Okay.
But the only one I played was Human Revolution, and it's a great game, but it was flawed. And I haven't checked the videos for, like, Mankind Divided to see if they've made improvements or if there's more things to this game that are going to make me fall more in love with it. I probably should. And maybe as it gets closer, I will. But right now, I could foresee that game, me walking away from it going, oh my god, that's amazing, type game.
Okay. No, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. If I had to guess, I already mentioned last week that one of the games I'm most hyped for is Mafia 3. Even if that game meets my expectations, I think I'm still going to consider Uncharted 4 and probably even Blood and Wine better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Mafia 3 comes out and does things that no other open world, you know, GTA clone has ever done. I don't see it dethroning it, even though I'm really hyped to play it.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think it could for me, because Mafia 3 would be my second answer.
Okay.
I think it could for me, just if it has that, like, story element that I feel like GTA 5 and even Watch Dogs, while I like that it was more serious than GTA 5, it still was more miss than hit. If Mafia 3 can have a really, really intriguing story while doing, like, the Grand Theft Auto slash Watch Dog type of gameplay, and then have, like, plot twists and things like that that I've seen or more than less, I've basically read about from the previous games, I think it could potentially be a Game of the Year type game. That's just my take.
I think of the games I'm excited about, and I'll let you throw out a few honorable mentions for yourself here in a minute, too. There's a few that I think that I will really like. I Am Setsuna, No Man's Sky, Final Fantasy 15, which is one that many of our community picked, like Daniel Freitas and Mark Allen, of course. They're all saying, no doubt about it, Final Fantasy 15 is going to be that. To me, the one that has a really good chance of surpassing Blood and Wine and Uncharted 4 would be The Last Guardian. And that will only happen if all the reports coming out about it not being that, you know, great to play, or the visuals not being great, frame rate issues, whatever people are reporting, if those things all turn out to be untrue or fixed by the time it releases, then I could see this game surpassing those only because of the track record, based on how much I love Shadows of the Colossus.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Shadows of the Colossus. So that one I could see surpassing it. The rest of them, even Watch Dogs 2, those games I could see getting onto my list. I just don't see them passing up my top few. So what are some of the other honorable mentions that you think could be dark horses to overtake the top?
I think every game I'm listing off is just going to be an honorable mention. I really do think Dark Souls 3 is just going to kill it for me because of the amount of love I have.
Well, yeah, I've never heard you talk about a game like that where you played it all the way through twice. It's not a short game.
No.
And now you just want to play it again. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I would say I've already mentioned Mafia 3 and Deus Ex, so Final Fantasy 15, you can throw that in there with Gears of War 4. Dishonored 2 is another one. Watch Dogs 2, again, I haven't done a lot of research, but that could end up being better than I think it's going to be. But I don't foresee it being like a Game of the Year. But the one that I think, out of all the stuff I wrote down, there's certain games that I'm like, okay, like Deus Ex and Gears of War, maybe they'll be so fun. Maybe they'll have a story I care about that I'll go, you know what? It is better than Dark Souls. But the one game on my list that I'm like, I like the first one, and when I saw the trailer, completely blown away by how hilarious it was and how interesting it could be. And that was South Park The Fractured Butthole. Like, it didn't just look like, oh, this game will make you laugh. Like, the first one,
we just want excuses to keep saying
Yeah, basically. But, like, I liked the first one, but there were some parts where I was just like, okay, it's kind of boring. This game, like, looks interesting. Like, even the gameplay that they were showing off at the press conference looked better than the first one. So I really think that game could be a shock, like, shock kick and hit and maybe be, I don't know, Game of the Year, but definitely higher on my list than I think it would be right now.
Yeah, I've heard they modeled the gameplay after Boy and His Blob, so I think you'll love it.
I'm actually going to go ahead and delete that pre-order right now.
All right, well, there's lots of good games coming out. I'm really hoping that if a lot of these games we just mentioned deliver, I'm hoping that we look back on 2016 the same way we have on years like 2013 or 2007, all the way back to 1998. There's certain years that jump out when you look at game releases as, wow, those were amazing years. I'm hoping that 2016 is one of those years. And so far, it's been amazing. And we're not even to the heavy hitters, technically, the heavy hitters of the year yet. So should be pretty great to see those things as they come out. So, all right, so we're going to wrap up here. One thing I wanted to make an announcement about, and I didn't run this by Derek yet, but I think it'd be fun to do here in July sometime, if any of you are interested in putting together another Rocket League tournament, seems like interest in Rocket League is starting to pick back up.
Yeah.
It's been out for a year on the PS4. It's been out for almost 5 months, I guess, now on the Xbox One. And a lot of you play it. A few of you haven't played it yet. Here's what I want you to do. Number one, keep an eye out for sales if it's coming out. But if we get close to the tournament date, which will probably be on a Friday, Saturday, coming up here in a couple weeks, just go buy it. Spend $20, be part of the community, buy this game. It's that good. But if you see it on sale for, you know, 35, 50% off, pick it up. That should be down to either 10 or 13 bucks, well, something like
only,
that.
And I'm cool with doing that. I actually was thinking about doing that myself. The only thing I ask is, and I understand life happens, but if you're going to play, please show up. We get like at least 5 or 6 people that say they're going to play and they don't show up. Yeah. Please show up. Or if you're not going to show up, let us know way ahead of time you're not going to make it.
Totally agree with that. Here's what makes it fun is that we usually pair off into teams of two. We'll set up a bracket. We'll try to track it on a combination of Facebook and within our, you know, chat groups on the PS4 or Xbox One, either one. Probably PS4. And we'll track it that way. But then once you're done, once your team's knocked out, then you still jump into a group and just play some casual private matches, and then the conversation continues. And if you've ever played a game with someone like, oh, I don't know, let me just pick a name out of the hat, John Martin, you know those conversations terrible. Can get interesting. So so anyway, I want to put that together again. Hopefully you guys will be have some interest in that. We can get at least somewhere around 4 or 6 teams together. That'd be excellent to do that. And then I know Jesse and Noah are looking forward to knocking you off again there, Derek. But I like that he talks trash on behalf of his son. Like he's Noah's agent.
I know, he does sound like he's Noah's
agent. He's the hype man. He's the hype man.
He is. He's definitely the hype man.
All right. Well, I know you guys might be able to hear in the background. My kids have finished their movie. They're getting louder. They're coming down for some food and stuff. So I gotta drop off here at this point. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Derek, for talking about games. I don't know about you, but talking about upcoming games that could overtake Game of the Year gets me super hyped about games. I'm ready to go pre-order some stuff without having money to spend. I'm still gonna go pre-order some stuff.
Yeah, go get me. I am Setsuna.
That's actually what I'm going to pre-order. I am Setsuna. So anyway, all right, guys, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?